All right. Wrapping up the process of change. All right. Well, I was unfortunately had to miss a couple of the last sessions with, I set the bar pretty low, and then I hear that we kept building with my wife and Mario and Karen last week, and kind of wrap it all up here now. So that idea of discipleship, what we're doing, all of this, this is not just some abstract thought, you know. And so even as Pastor Bruce said, that how Christy and I, you know, we're not just about drawing attention to ourselves or, you know, be a great teacher, but we're not really doing anything if we're not raising up new teachers, raising up new folks to lead, helping pass the baton. And so we've been very intentional in how we do things and build. And so even having Mario and Karen in here, you know, Pastor Bruce told us a month or two ago, hey, your guy's teaching again, and find somebody to pass it off to. And so it was a scramble. So praise God that he helped them to, you know, respond to that as well. And so that's part of the intentional process. And they're already gifted teachers, but hey, you got to start somewhere and you got to grow. So we're going to finish up today, the last session. We're going to do some quick didactic stuff at the beginning and then have this role play at the end that I kind of mentioned at the beginning to kind of help you guys try to work through some of these scenarios to think about having this conversation with somebody and how to work the idea of how does change happen, the principles that we've been hearing. So if everyone have a handout? All right, so we're going to kind of head through this pretty quickly here. So the principles, the process of change, this should be some review, but also some real practical stuff. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time and bless it today. Help us to apply the principles of changing not only to ourselves, but also to others, to see them grow in Christ, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so some helpful tips on how to help somebody else. The first one, set up an appointment with a time limit. Time limit. This needs to be like a doctor's visit. In some sense, having a time frame. The idea of saying, we're just going to get together and it may be an 8-hour event or, you know, a 4-day marathon. That's not really what's going to be helpful. Okay, we're going to say, you know what, let's meet for 60 minutes. Okay, let's get an hour together. One thing that'll keep you on task to realize that we don't have to necessarily cover the entire world, every problem somebody may have all in one session, but we got a time limit, okay, to keep focused. And also, if somebody starts getting on rabbit trails, you need to bring them back in, and it's also for them as well, so they don't feel, so they can feel like, hey, we've got something to accomplish here, and can I really commit to sit down with you? If it may be some 6-hour event, I mean, they may never meet with you. But if you say, hey, let's do 30 minutes, let's manageable chunks are going to help somebody understand there's a goal. Second one, direct people to God for answers. Once again, you're not trying to become someone's personal guru, okay? Sometimes it can be exciting, maybe. Feel like somebody calls you, hey, I got this problem and I need your wisdom and I need you to help me, and that can build you up. And that's good to a point. But some of us can get overly addicted to that feeling of somebody needs me. And if you're the kind of person that has the savior mentality, that needs to rescue people, you're always trying to fix problems and trying to help people, and that's constantly what you draw identity from and meaning. The problem is, what happens if you're not there? What happens if they can't get a hold of you? Now they're lost. No, ultimately, we're pointing people to Jesus, okay? Helping them look to Him for change. Why? Because you don't want to be dependent or be the dependency one. Like those kids, the failure to launch, you know, the 30-year-old still living in the basement because they can't live on their own. They can't get out of mom and dad's house. No, that's not the kind of disciples God's called us to make. Start out with milk, but move to solid food. We don't want a church full of spiritual babies, okay? So point them to God for answers. Number three, do not minimize a person's problems, but empathize without excusing sin. Okay, somebody may have something that may not seem like a big deal to you. Maybe you dealt with this a long time ago and it's really not that complicated, but just blowing them off saying, oh, that's all you got? That's your big issue? That's why you've been so, you know, struggling in your faith because of that little thing? We don't want to do that, okay? We don't want to minimize, because to them, that may be this giant hurdle. And helping them get over that hurdle, hey, it's baby steps. It's the first step. But if you can't empathize with them on their struggle, I think they're going to come back to you. I think they're going to listen, or they're going to just say, well, they don't care. Nobody, you know, nobody understands me. So try to empathize. Don't minimize the sin, though. Okay, don't say, well, oh, that's no big deal. No, we don't excuse it. No, sin is sin, whether it's a little lie, okay, a half-truth versus the, you know, embezzling funds or you've murdered somebody. I mean, trust me, in God's eyes, sin is sin and we need to treat it as such. But, you know, make sure that you empathize without excusing sin. All right, so number four, maintain confidentiality. Okay, keep things close to the vest, but refuse to be sworn to secrecy. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. Realize that, once again, we've said this early on, you can't promise somebody, I'll never tell anybody else. You know, I'm not going to tell you if you don't promise to keep this quiet. Well, there's a difference between keeping something quiet, and I'm not going to gossip about it. But if somebody has really done something that is heinous, we need to tell authorities. We need to tell somebody. You may need to tell the pastor. Okay, and so tell someone, listen, I'm not going to gossip about this, but I can't promise you that if I need to get some advice from somebody else to help you, that I'm going to do that. Because ultimately your goal here is not just to be a confidant, to let them unload their guilt without actually helping them. Because if you don't have the tools or the authority to help somebody through this, then you're not going to really help them if you're just being the one to bear the burden, okay? Because trust me, some of these burdens you can't carry. You know, if somebody's been sexually abused and are deeply involved, there's a deep weight on them and they need major restoration and lots of other counseling, that's a weight, okay? As somebody who's done those kind of things before and bore the weight of somebody's, this is what they're dealing with, if you open yourself up to these things, it can open you up to your own attack or to be just realized, I may need help to help me with how to help this person. Okay, and so the devil can really, if you just kind of open yourself up to be the burden, beast of burden here, he will find somebody to come at you that will throw and keep throwing burdens on you, okay? And that can crush you. So we need to be, all of us, we all need to say, listen, I may need help to help you, okay? But I promise I have your best interest at heart and I'm not going to just spread this to anybody. Does that make sense? So don't be sworn to secrecy. All right, don't let them bribe you. Don't let them say, well, I'm not going to tell you if you don't. Trust me. If they're going to manipulate and that kind of thing, then you can't really help them. They don't really want to change anyway, okay? If they really want to change, then they'll trust you to help bring the right kind of change in. Number five, provide an environment in which it is safe to be real. So whether that's in the middle of Starbucks, if somebody's going to unburden some huge, shameful thing, or maybe someone who's got kids or you have kids and bringing them in the middle, out to the playland at McDonald's where it's just chaos going along. And think about the kind of environment where you're at, depending on if it's just getting to know somebody. Hey, that's fine. Bringing them to a public place can be better than, just meeting somebody and taking them to some private place where it's just, a little bit too much sharing and too intimate for somebody. But people, if somebody's going to, there's some kind of big issue they've really just been, want to come out and talk about in a way that's, listen, this is a safe place, okay? There's not going to be folks eavesdropping around us. We don't have to worry about somebody else hearing and getting into your business just where, out there. So be conscious of that. How to help this person be an environment to really, get free of some things like that. Number six, use discretion with the opposite sex. And one of our rules is never meet alone. Okay, a woman, if you're, there's a guy that's just trying to confide in you, listen, don't be getting alone and trying to do some deep counseling, men versus women. If you're married, even more so, okay? Ever. Never, ever, ever. Why? Because it may not be your intention, okay, to get involved in, infidelity and all the rest, but guess what? Helping somebody work through change, repentance, meeting the Lord, okay? That's, if you're helping somebody to change through sin and the rest, guess what? If there is real repentance that happens, if the Lord shows up, guess what? There can be a powerful moment. And you know what? It ain't just Jesus that gets the overflow of the love there. Somebody can easily then associate you with, that person really helped me. And suddenly, it becomes this enmeshment and this soul tie and all kinds of stuff that can happen that may not have been your intent at all. But you know what? It still happens. And so, once again, we want to make sure that we are protecting somebody else as well as protecting ourselves. First of all, guard your heart, right? Well, you also want to guard somebody else's heart. And so in general, if I'm at the altar, okay, up there, and some of you are on the ministry team or you will be on the ministry team someday, if you're a man and a woman comes up to you and just says, I need to pray for something, okay? We don't just offend them by saying no, but what I'm doing when someone's talking to me, I'm looking around. Is there a lady I can grab right away to come over here and to be a part of this, to pray and to help in this too? Because I'm not going to be the one to counsel her afterwards, Okay, I'm going to pass her off. And if I can find somebody right then, great. If I'm not, I'll say, I'm going to get one of our ladies, life group leaders, or somebody else to help you and to kind of follow up with that. Okay, the same for a man. So, ladies, there's a lot of ladies in here. Praise God for you women. When you see the pastors, okay, who are down front afterwards, okay, many of them will get that look on their eye. Look for that. This is just a how to help your pastor, how to help your leaders. Why? Because, trust me, you know, women are much more free, usually, to come down front and to be willing to be vulnerable and to ask for prayer. The men, it's harder. And so you look at who responds after service, just like who comes to church. Well, there's usually a majority of women. Well, the women come down front, and as men, we need you ladies to be aware of those things and to kind of help us out. Okay? That's just, as propriety, it's, you know, being using discretion in how we do things. So don't meet alone. Always have somebody else with you when you... Even phone conversations like that, okay? It's not quite as dangerous, but it can be. And so really, you know, just for, once again, if this is the line of what is technically sin, we want to be as far away from that line as possible, okay? This is not just about what's technically legal. You know, is it sinful for me as a man to talk to a woman? It's not sinful. But can I get close to, you know, or it's easy to, right, fall into sin? Yeah, absolutely. And I want to not give the devil a foothold, not even a little bit. And so we don't want that either, okay? So use discretion. Number seven, remember that there are two sides to every story. And this is where somebody may be a friend of yours, okay? Y'all may be close. And they're talking about this issue, so-and-so hurt them and the rest. Be careful, okay, that you don't just, you know, they're assuming you're just going to take their side. Oh, he said that. That's just, he's evil and, yeah, it's all. No, there's always two sides, okay? And so we're not the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you have to listen in such a way that you try to think, okay, what might this other person, what might they have been thinking? And just, there's a balance in how you do that. You don't believe me or trust me. It's not that, but we don't want to prejudge something with only hearing one side. That's why when the Bible talks about, you know, if your brother's offended you, go confront him. If they still don't, you know, if someone's sinning at you, don't take the elder, take somebody else with you, a witness. Why? Because it's helpful sometimes to have other people to hear both sides of the story. And as the elders, we definitely need to get both parties involved. Okay? This idea of, you know, when it comes to marital issues and the rest, it's never just one person's always wrong and the other person is completely innocent. Okay? It's never that. And so we always need to make sure that we don't prejudge a circumstance to help somebody change without either hearing the story or thinking, well, what if, let's just think about what some of the, you know, scenarios may have been, what might have been in their mind. I know personally for my wife, you know, if you're in a married relationship, dealing with your parents, somebody's parents, sometimes, you know, your spouse, why is it always the wife and the mother-in-law that have issues? Sometimes, well, because oftentimes, you know, like for me, I understand my mother. Okay, I'm going to speak for my family. I understand my family. I know the culture I grew up in. And my spouse didn't grow up in that same family. Right? And so one of the things that, you know, the way my mom works, and you know, she talks things out loud. Okay, so as a kid, I didn't realize this until I was about 25 or 30 years old, that, you know, mom said something that wasn't the final answer. You know, that wasn't the final punishment that was coming. That wasn't the final thing. It was like, okay, a couple hours later, you knew it was going to change and you probably weren't going to get punished like she said initially on. You just kind of waited for her to work it out and vent it out, and something came around and that, well, guess what? My wife, that's not the way her family was. And when my mom would say something, you know, immediately, you know, she, you know, it just, and I'm like, it's not what she meant, I'm sure, you know, and then by the end of the night, you knew it's just not what, she's just going to work it out, and you don't just take what she said and take it to heart, and that wasn't the way it works, right? And some people are like that, but she didn't know that, and so sometimes I had to, okay, let me just try to help think like my mother here to see, okay, she said this, now is there another alternative scenario which she might have meant by that? Now, I'm not taking my mother's side. I'm always going to, you know, defend my wife. But to help, not, you know, always love assumes the best. Let me just try to assume the best here and think what that might have meant. Okay, now sometimes my mom needs to repent and just offended my wife. And we got to deal with that. Okay, but how you help somebody to think through those and to realize, okay, let's not be hasty. Let's try to look at both sides of a story and try to get to the bottom. All right, number eight, refer them to other professionals when they have a couple things. Have problems that require medical attention. Okay, so especially when it comes to things like psychiatric problems, mental illness issues, depression, you know, schizophrenia or delusions. You know, there's definitely somebody who's got major mental health issues. We want to always refer folks to medical professionals as well. Never, ever tell somebody to stop taking their medicines unless you're their doctor. Okay? Ever. Some people think that, well, we believe in healing. You know, we prayed for healing, and so I just tell them to stop your medicine. That's a sign of faith. No, that's not what we teach in this church, okay? If God heals them, they don't need the medicine. Their doctor, it'll be evidence of the doctor, and let the professionals do those kind of things, okay? If somebody, refer to professionals, if somebody needs long-term care, these things like somebody was ritually abused as a child, their parents were in a cult, okay? And for years and years they were, you know, sexually abused or physically abused. Some of those things need ongoing issues, and somebody may need some prolonged counseling, those kind of things. Unless you're their counselor, you know, you may need help to help work through those things. Because otherwise, like I said, the burdens that you may not be equipped to totally deal with some of these issues completely. Number three, are unstable or unsafe, potentially hurt self or others. If somebody tells you they're suicidal and they want to kill themselves, you need to refer that one, always. Okay? Call the pastors. You may need the suicide hotline kind of helps, okay? Once again, if the devil has lied to somebody and they're hearing the wrong thing, they're so, you know, stuck with... Speaking of the suicide hotline. All right. Write it down. Put it on your phone if you need to. This is the Nashville... This is the Nashville number here, or it's a 1-800 number. It can be anywhere. 1-800-784-2433. 1-800-784-2433. And that's, like I said, that if somebody's threatened to hurt, if somebody's threatened to hurt somebody else, you know, I'm just going to kill them. You know, you don't know what they did, I'm going to go kill them. Okay, well... We may need to get some help to deal with the underlying issues and help them repent and see the truth. But you know what? If somebody's in danger, we got to deal with that first before we can really, you know, counsel somebody out of some of those things. If you're out of your range of competency, meaning, like I said, if you're a single person and somebody's a married friend and they're really got all these deep marital issues, or somebody comes to you and says, you know what? I've been embezzling funds. I've been, you know, doing insider trading and illegal stuff like that, and I want you to pray with me. I need to repent of this stuff. Well, guess what? If there's legal things involved, you may be well outside of your realm of, you know, expertise by any means, and you may need to get some help. Or if they're doing illegal stuff, you can be, if they tell you about it and you don't get somebody else involved, they could come back and, you know, you could be in trouble with the law then. Okay, an accessory to something or whatever that may be. I mean, if you're a school teacher and somebody comes to you and says that I've been, you know, sexually abusing this child over here, you have a legal obligation to report that, where you can be arrested or you can be, you know, prosecuted yourself if you don't do those things. So there's some, this is not just, you know, oh, what stays inside the church happens here. I mean, the whole, you know, sexual abuse of kids and Catholic Church and all that, you know, there's decades of stuff getting hidden and covered up. There's a way, and you may not be sure if there's a gray area, please talk to the pastors, okay? Those kind of things. If it's something you're just not sure about, this isn't really illegal, but I don't know, that may be the situation where you need some backup. Good point. So that what she said was, somebody may have done illegal stuff in the past. They may not be doing them currently, but you know, there's some dicey issues there that, you know, you probably need to bump some of those things up the food chain to help, you know, make sure that you're covered in that process. All right, number nine, finishing up here with the principles: give homework. So invite somebody to get more revelation on an issue or to reconcile with somebody else. Maybe they need further study. Remember step three, the action, you know, plans. You know, somebody may need to go and I just don't feel like forgiving this person. Okay, well, we need to go back over those forgiveness scriptures. We need to go back and remember that Jesus said, if you don't forgive your brother, I won't forgive you. Well, you need to go meditate on this verse. Let's write it down. Every day you need to read this and meditate on this verse and really ask God to search your heart. To give somebody homework. Once again, remember, you're not the guru, right? They want to point them to Jesus and point them to the Word to get revelation. If they don't have a real revelation yet, guess what? If they go try to confront somebody or talk to them, or you know, and there's not a revelation in their heart yet, they may say the words, but they may not mean it. Just like my kids, you know, my son and daughter are fighting, you know, apologize your sister.
Sorry.
Okay, well, you really sorry? No, okay, no, you need to go sit in the corner and you need to, you know, get a happy heart about this. You need to get a revelation about what you, sorry for what?
I don't know.
Okay. You need to go get a revelation about what you're sorry for and then come back and actually apologize and repent about it. Okay? Some of these folks may need to go sit in the corner spiritually for a little while. You need to give them homework to go think about what you need to get revelation about. Right? Once again, this is not about world. We don't want worldly sorrow. When they know somebody, they need godly sorrow. That leads to repentance, which leads to life. And that's what we want for people. And then number 10, do not meddle in personal decisions. Don't meddle. Ask questions and give principles, but do not, underline not, do not tell people what to do. Okay? Once again, some of these things are not, people have questions about life, and I've got two job offers. Which one should I use? Should I do? Guess what? Should I marry this person or not? Tell me. What do you think? Once again, there can be opinions, but if it's not, okay, I'm an obvious sin and I need, to repent. Okay, some of these things, you may say, listen, here's the principles. I can't tell you whether to take the job or not. Do you know that one job requires you to lie and to be shady and to cut corners and the other one doesn't? Well, guess what? We know what the Ten Commandments say about lying, right? Now, what about this? Well, here's some principles. But sometimes does God give somebody a choice of two equally moral, jobs? Yeah. And you know what? You can pray and say, I'm going to pray that God would help you to understand. Is there one of these that's the better spot for you? But you know what? Feel free to make a choice. And so don't always have to be like, once again, to rescue somebody. If they're struggling and wrestling with something that doesn't really involve sin, you don't have to commit to an answer. Okay, sometimes that struggling process, that seeking God, pointing back to God, this may be God's process to draw them to seek Him, to help understand. And if you just take all the work out of it and do the work for them, then they may not be getting the lesson that God has for them. Okay, here's a few discussion questions. What do you think? Should we just do that? Do the role play first and then we can kind of come in? Let's do the role play first. That way, because this is always hard for some people. Others are good. How many folks do we have left here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay, Christy, you explain the role play to us, and we got 8 plus one of us can fit in.
So, I don't know if any actors in here from, maybe high school drama, or maybe you were just a dramatic child. Well, you're going to get an opportunity to exercise that your inner drama. This is probably one of my favorite parts of the course, which is why he handed them to me. We are going to actually play some roles. Now there's three different roles you can play. And so we're going to get into groups of three and you're going to rotate and everyone is going to play every role. But I'll leave it up to you who plays what role to begin with. The first role is that of an observer. They're the impartial third party who is critiquing both ends maybe. Because they'll be watching two people play a confrontation out. This is probably the toughest part of this whole course is learning how to confront well. And so one of you is going to be the big sinner. And I encourage you, make up something wild. Go for it. I mean, I've heard just about everything in this course before. I mean, people have gotten really, really tough on each other. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you're so mean to do that to somebody. But okay, this may be something you see. Just be careful. You might see it next week if you make something really bad. But, come up with a situation that needs to be confronted. And then the other person, the third person, is going to be the leader, the spiritual confronter in the group. So the person that is actually sort of the life group leader, the mentor in a way, and is going to kind of work with them about helping them see where they are, is that sin that they're in, and then helping them to work through that, repent, and move forward in their faith. So I'm just going to, let's have, Mario, can you join the guys so y'all can keep it appropriate? And then ladies, just kind of get into groups of three. So remember, you're going through a process here, truth, repentance, and faith. So those of you, when you're in the role of mentor or discipler or life group leader, remember to go through that process, and you may not be able to give them, chapter and verse for a scripture, but be thinking as they're talking, what biblical verse would I apply to this situation? So I will call time in about 12 minutes, and then we'll do some discussion questions at the end. So we'll do three different scenarios. So just go for it. All right. Let's get a group to tell me something that was difficult in what you did in your role as the mentor or life group leader confrontor. Someone, any volunteers? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of times it's trying to find the root of why they're not willing to change. And sometimes it's not that they're not willing to change. They just don't think they can. And that may be the reason. Or it's because they've never seen an alternative way of living. And that may be the reason. Like, they just can't even see that there's a way out and I can't change, so I'm just stuck. And so sometimes just asking and probing into that hesitancy can then open up the door that they realize that, oh, is that why I'm thinking this? So that's crazy. You know, and then they can actually begin to change. What was hard about the, maybe we talked about the affirm and the correct, what was hard in the at the end, sort of as you're trying to like pick them up off the floor of their repentance? Any difficulties or successes there, either way?
I think always remembering these things too, because, you know, something in this room, we have different, probably different perspectives on things like alcohol, which are illegal, or even, you know, cigarettes and those things where, you know, are there certain things, I guess, where you have to be careful as the person that your own things like that, where you may have either very strong opinions one way or the other, that you're not just about getting someone to change a behavior per se. Realizing all these things, we're trying to get someone to become more like Jesus.
Yeah.
You want to point them to Jesus. And so we can get so obsessed where somebody can stop their weed. But you know what? If their heart isn't, if they're doing it just to make you get off their back, and there is no real change, like, I'm doing this because, wow, I had a revelation from God. And so make sure that, because it's real easy to kind of say, we need to change this behavior. We need to change this behavior. When the reality is, okay, you know what? Hey, you know what? You may go to heaven and smoke and that's fine. You know, but ultimately, are you trusting, is Jesus really the Lord of your life and these things? And is Jesus really, are you in love with Jesus? Because once again, you don't have to be the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
And some of these things, if it's an issue of you can see the how it's harming somebody, if they can't see it yet, realize, hey, I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit. Let's just ask God, say, hey, God, may all my activities, God, I want to be pleasing to you, God. I don't want anything in my life. Do you want God to be pleasing to you? Yes. Okay. Let's focus on, hey, God, help us in all areas to be conformed to your image. And so, because it's easy, trust me, as a rule follower, it's easy to get someone just to change and to follow my rules and those things, when that really isn't a heart issue, per se. Mm-hmm. And so just be careful of that.
And the other thing is we want to make sure that we're not trying to conform someone to our culture. Because in a set, especially in a church like ours, we have a diverse culture base. I grew up very differently from Karen. We may have had some commonalities, but there was a very different experience of growing up. And so our culture we're bringing into this body may be different. And so that's why it's so important to know your word. And before you confront someone, to bring truth. So as you were doing this, the ACE model of confrontation and bringing truth, and then at the end, you know, bringing repentance and then the faith walk, hopefully you'll see your own need to be in the Bible. And your own need to know the word. Because you can only confront someone with truth that you know. And truth that you've applied. You know, that whole idea of take the plank out of your own eye before dealing with the splinter in someone else's. You know, it's to be a leader in the body of Christ is a heart check. Because we have an additional burden before the Lord. An additional responsibility. And if we're hypocrites, woe is us, you know. So, you know, not that God's asking us to be perfect and have it all together before we confront someone else, but, you know, examine your heart, bring truth, examine, you know, your own life, your own walk, bring truth into their lives, love them enough to tell them the truth, but then encourage and help them to see Jesus. And I hope you found through this exercise too, that it's hard to direct people to God for answers. It's hard to say, you know, I just don't know. You're just going to have to pray about that. I get people asking me all the time, if I take that job or that job, what do you think? Should I marry this guy? I'm like, you're just going to have to hear from God. You know? And it's hard. It's easy for me to see so clearly, or at least what I think I see so clearly what they should do. But I'm not walking their walk of faith. They're walking their walk of faith. It's easy for me to see from my path, maybe. But they need to see it for themselves. They need to seek God for themselves. They need to hear from God for themselves. And so just to encourage you to keep pointing people to God, keep giving them scripture, keep giving them the word, and then asking them to do the hard work of getting before God and seeking him and finding out from him and hearing from him. And I tell you, the first time someone you've been discipling comes to you so excited because they've heard from God, something finally clicks and makes sense. There's a light. There's this just excitement, this energy that it's kind of addicting, honestly, for us who are leaders in the body of Christ to see people transformed like that. That's a good thing to be addicted to, you know, to see that lives change and transformed. And you guys, you're going to do this because you're equipped and you have the model and you'll practice it and it'll become a little bit more comfortable after a while and you'll develop your own style. But I hope that the role play was helpful, even though you probably threw out some crazy ones to each other. Most of what you deal with is going to be more garden variety.
And you know what? Some of these things, it's okay to say, you know what? Wow, that's a hard one. I don't know. You know, let's do this. Let's pray about it, and I'm going to try to get some more information for you. And then, you know, maybe it's you got this thing. I've heard that verse somewhere, and you kind of paraphrase it. The Bible says somewhere something. Make sure that you go back afterwards and look it up or try to find something like that, and then get that person the reference back. Mm-hmm. Because too, just, oh, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. Once again, we want to point them. And trust me, it's easy to paraphrase a lot of stuff. And that's a good check for me to say, where is that? I need to go memorize that verse so I know. Or I have a little cheat sheet of things that are, you know, in the back of your Bible. Or if you have a notes in your...
Carry the purple Bible book around with you. If you've got a smartphone, download Blue Letter Bible app onto your phone. And it's a searchable... But you download the Bibles to your phone. It's a searchable app. Olive Tree is a searchable app. So even if you only have part of it, you can search it, and it makes you look, oh, here it is. It's in Proverbs says. And then, oh, I found it. So in today's technology, Blue Letter Bible or Olive Tree. Olive Tree is another. There's probably 15, 20.
Some of the websites, some of the apps. It's just, yeah, there's a lot of different... A ton of stuff online now, or resources on the internet that's free that you can. Yeah.
All right, everyone, could we bow our heads? Father, we thank you, Lord, for this series of the process of change. Lord, it's been a great opportunity to get wisdom and glean wisdom on how to confront sin in our lives and in ourselves, Father, and in our those who are seeking you. Father, that you have words for them, Father. You have a life to share with them. That's the life of Christ. And Father, as we emulate Christ, Father, and as he is our perfect example, Lord, this is truly the process of change that you have expected of us, Father. I thank you for that. I thank you for all those who came through this series and have been blessed by the teachings. First from Dr. Steve and Christy, Father, we thank you for their leadership. And we thank you for them helping us to walk this process out, to be more effective as ministers, to be more effective as leaders, Father. And we just give you all the praise for this, Father. Lord, I thank you. We love you. We know that you're able to do all things for those who believe in Jesus' name.